Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Alay, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool won Europe's biggest prize for the sixth time. The UEFA Nations League is back. And will Rafa get his contract extended? Petey and Jimmy are here.
Hello.
We're back, baby. And we're loaded. it's been a long season, hasn't it?
It has.
It's still going.
We're still there.
Still not quite over.
I feel like I haven't played in 7 weeks.
Yeah. The club season's only just finished.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Which is quite strange. But then, of course, you glance over to the other side of the world. And in Major League Soccer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is scoring bicycle kicks.
Mm. When does it end? Bike scoring a bike. Yeah. It's been...
A bicycle, as they call it over there.
We have different terminologies, gentlemen.
Do they, if you were Zlatan Ibrahimovic, would you have pushed the ball from out of your radius to get a bit more purchase with your chest instead of going straight away with the bikey?
I think what he did was quite effective.
It was quite, yeah. I mean, it went in, so could the keeper have done better? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's a fair comment.
I'm just saying he's slowing down a bit.
Would you bring in VAR to determine whose mistake it was?
I love that. Or that is your takeaway from it. He scores an overhead kick at what, 35, 36? Yeah. It's like he's slowing down.
Keeper might have done better. anything else happened over the weekend?
Nah.
Go on
to
then.
To be honest, very a little.
Liverpool, yes. Their sixth European Cup / Champions League. Only AC Milan and Real Madrid have won more. Milan have only just won one more. Real Madrid way out in front with 13.
They won the first five, though, didn't they? Were like 14 tournaments
I think take that away.
I agree.
Klopp very much claiming this six, isn't he? He's very big into the six. He's doing a lot of hand movement. A
lot of people were doing that.
He has been busy since the final. We nearly fell off the bus. Did you see that?
No, he didn't fall off the bus. He fell into the bus, which is completely different.
Right, well, I thought for the video I saw with... there was one where he poured beer on Rian Brewster, which was brilliant. And one where he was like hanging over the side and he sort of had a little bit of a slip.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
Like I said, he's been doing a lot. He probably did both.
He constantly had a bottle of booze in his hand. Yeah. Right throughout the weekend.
He must feel terrible right now.
I think he feels pretty good with himself. Yeah. Jürgen Klopp is at the moment, he's like Caesar.
Yeah.
He's like the king of Europe. He's absolutely glorious.
Right.
I'm so happy for that man.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended a run of six
Sexy
final defeat. Successive final defeats is what I'm bloody trying to say. He wins his first trophy with Liverpool, major trophy with Liverpool, and first European trophy for himself as well. But yeah, the way he kind of is doing an interview, but very, very nice in mentioning he knows how Spurs felt and didn't, you know, run onto the pitch and go wild, very much shaking Pochettino's hand, had a word with him. And he said, "I feel relieved." More than absolute jubilant.
I think every neutral felt like that at the end of that match.
Yeah, it was
the soccer aid of finals, wasn't it?
But you might have Woody Harrelson scoring a penalty and going, "Well, that's weird." Yeah. But they didn't even have that.
There's a lot of Woody Harrelsons on that face. Like people who look like, have you played for a little while? Well, they haven't, have they? No, that's the problem.
I would have. Yeah. I thought to myself, won't someone think of the neutral here?
No. Yeah. And there were a lot of neutrals.
There was an awful lot of neutrals. I mean, to be fair to Liverpool, it's easy to sort of slag it off. You get that goal, and I know it wasn't brilliant. There's much chat about how their pass completion was really, really low. I mean, Jonathan Wilson wrote an excellent piece, as he tends to do, and saying that Liverpool's pass completion was 64%, which is, over the course of the season in terms of Cardiff, it's 0.1% more than Cardiff over the course of the season, and less than any other Premier League side. So it shows you how low it was in the final.
Yeah.
And I know that they weren't brilliant, and it took them a while to get the second. However, I would also suggest that it was a very mature performance for Liverpool because they didn't need to do that much.
Well, absolutely, because they got the penalty really early on, which is a really funny one, that, because when I saw it, where I was, you couldn't really hear the commentary, and on first glance, it looked like it was a scandalous decision to award a penalty, but then actually seeing it a few more times, like, okay, I kind of see how that's happened.
Well, so I'm surprised we didn't see more kind of like think pieces of going, "Oh, this is an absolute disgrace." But at the end of the day, Dem's the rules, and we can't really complain about. Yeah. We can only.
Well, Glenn Hoddle complained about it.
Well, Chris Waddle's gone crazy on the radio as well.
All the experts.
And understandably as well.
Yeah, it was just a really rubbish waiter to really stink up the match.
It
really
reminded
early
me,
on. And then Sissoko spent most of the match trying to get something back. He was like hitting shots and way out, and kind of flattering to deceive a little bit. It was really, I felt for Sissoko for the first time in my life, I think.
It was such a shame because he's pointing. He's pointing, and it does hit his chest first.
Yes, but his arm is. Yeah, it's in a natural position.
It's a trigger, but this is the problem with the rules. We're quite unsure of what's.
I think
going
the unnatural position thing isn't in the rule, is it?
I don't even know anymore. They keep changing it. We'll read the rules at the start of next season.
Yes.
And then we'll reset.
We should just hammer them into the wall in the studio, because I've always got them to hand.
Well, the penalty was given, and Salah tucked it away. But really, the dynamic didn't change that much. There was a little tiny flurry where Spurs, in the sort of midway through the second half and towards the end, had a few efforts. And Alisson, who was the man of the match, was brilliant, even though there were saves he's expected to make, but you've still got to
save
make
from
them.
Mora was big.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think a lot of Spurs' chances were sort of from distance, weren't they? Because I think Liverpool marshalled them very, very well. A Spurs fan I know posted on Facebook after the game, "I got to enjoy that for 24 seconds. And I sort of do feel for them in that sense. But like, it did feel like Liverpool just adapted to having that very, very good piece of fortune early on, and they almost felt like the senior team in the game, didn't they?
They just took control of it and managed it. They were the favourites, but I think the most disappointing thing was the yellow cards thing. Possibly there didn't seem to be a lot of fight, but nobody was snapping at anyone's heels. It never turned into anything more frenetic than a bit of a training match for me. It was disappointing to see that.
Europa League final, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That air of like pre-season friendly or like a sort of Premier League game in February.
Again, players who just haven't played for a while. It really, really looked like that. And it was just, I don't know.
Should he start with Kane? I mean, that was the big... I mean, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, of course, with these situations. He looked like he was a little bit unfit. I mean, we'll come on to this in a bit, but...
Fit or unfit, he didn't have any chances.
Well, exactly.
But
I think it very Spurs difficult. Struggled to get him into the game, didn't
I just wonder, I actually, talking to Glenn Hoddle, I actually agreed what Hoddle said about that. He said, Kane from the bench would have been a good option. Because if they need something, bring him on. And that actually would give Liverpool something to think about.
Definitely.
Thinking, oh, blimey, here he comes. I mean, Lucas Moura, I'm glad Origi got his moment of being the hero in the semi-final.
I mean, the way he's going at the moment, in 20 years, he'll be the manager.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But with Spurs, I don't know. I think that trying to... I understand what he went with when you've got two big centre-halves in Matip and Van Dijk, who are very good in particular Van Dijk. So let's get Kane up there as one of the best centre forwards in the world and give them something to think about. But the way it was going, it clearly wasn't. The problem is, though, after a minute, as Pochettino said, the whole plans are ripped up.
Yeah.
You've spent weeks and weeks.
But I thought Pochettino didn't panic when that went in, when the penalty went in.
That's the trouble with one of those goals, is because it doesn't happen after 15 minutes, where you kind of go, oh, right, okay, we've settled into the get right, we know what we're doing.
It's kind of like you start with a handicap, isn't
completely.
It? It's really weird.
And it's kind of like, all right, kick off, all right, let's start again. And then the dynamic sets in which, well, it's kind of nil-nil, but it's not. We need a goal, don't we? Mm. And I actually thought he may bring on more at half-time, because I thought the way, I keep using the word dynamic, but forgive me, but the way the dynamic of the game was set, I thought this Liverpool are not going to try and disrupt this. Mm. They are defending. They're actually playing quite a high line, and Spurs were trying to get the ball in behind or over the top for runners, but that ended up just looking like long balls and the big boys just heading it away all day, which was pretty easy for them.
And Moore's running is quite...
Yeah,
a bit more. He's definitely a bit more mobile.
Oh, he's much
Kane,
more mobile
obviously.
Than Kane but on any day of the
week.
But
he does some fantastic runs and pulls defenders, and that was kind of what you needed. I
agree. I think that you could have had Son and Moore almost like a front two, perhaps Eriksen sort of dropping a little bit deeper, perhaps. And Ali in there as well. And Moore, obviously, what he did in the semi-final, a bit more mobile, just. Get it to
busier,
feet.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I thought it was a brave move playing Winks. He thought, no, we're going to try and keep the ball.
He played well. It was Eriksen and Ali's just had off days. And when they're having off days, you're all down to Son. And every now and again, he dropped the ball. And you're like, mate, like you're the most comfortable two-footed footballer in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And you're messing up every now and again. You're like, wow, like this is a really subpar performance from Spurs. And it was really sad to see.
And I think that's it. It just, from Spurs' point of view, it's kind of just... And it's almost a bit like what Liverpool had last season when they looked good, they started well, and Salah gets injured and goes off, and Lallana comes on, who hadn't played that much, and it just didn't look like the same game. And it was for Madrid, and of course the mistakes, and Liverpool come away thinking what could have been. Mm. But the incredibly impressive thing about Liverpool is straight back in the final the next season,
and with an incredible points tally in the Premier League as well. They have just back to being at the top table of European football very, very clearly, and also.
Two finals in a row.
Yeah, it's really, really something, isn't it? Because people keep talking about this being potentially the start of a bit of a sort of modern dynasty at Liverpool.
Mm.
And there's every chance that could happen. And Marcus, you and I were talking about this earlier. I think Jose Mourinho might have said it as well. Like, it feels like they could win a few more in years to come. And I wonder if Real Madrid doing three in a row has kind of kidded us all into thinking that is a bit more doable than it is. Because, no one had ever done it, retained it once before, let alone
absolutely.
Twice.
And Liverpool, but the successive final shows you that they can do it.
Well,
that they could maybe retain the trophy. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be that outrageous to think. They are so, so good. And Anfield is like a 12th man and all those other cliches. But the impressive thing I thought from Liverpool as well, coming back from last year's final, is this is the first time since the Champions League rather than the European Cup has been about, that Liverpool played as favourites in the final. If you think about it, in Istanbul, you look at that Milan side. Mm. They came back from the dead, of course. But they were
favourites at half-time and all that much.
I wonder what the odds would have been then. When they played Milan again, they lost. They weren't favourites, despite what happened in Istanbul. Yeah. When they played Real Madrid, they weren't favourites. There was that underdog. Yeah. And so to be the favourites and then go 1-0 up and to not choke... to actually keep that performance, it shows you the maturity of that side. Definitely. I know it's boring for the neutral. Believe me, I wish that goal hadn't gone in. Partly because we didn't actually get to see Liverpool play the way they can.
No, Spurs didn't pressure them into actually being Liverpool.
So we were almost robbed of a great Liverpool performance there. Not that Liverpool would care, and nor should they care. But it did show you the level of maturity in that side to manage that game and not panic.
I think that the magic moments were kind of like post final whistle almost.
Yeah.
Henderson's dad.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh,
that was so, so lovely. And on a sort of very different tone from that, I suppose anyone that hasn't seen about that, Jordan Henderson's dad was very, very ill for quite a while. And, you know, they shared this hug at the final whistle. This went on for ages and ages and looked so emotional. It was absolutely beautiful. And
yeah, I was
good luck
there.
To the
I
Henderson
was absolutely
family.
Big. But Henderson, like he'd spent so long sort of playing out of a position. He got handed the captaincy. Mm-hmm. Massive long shadow after Gerrard left. And
yeah. Now and he had a lot of stick as well, didn't
exactly,
he?
Exactly. But Klopp has the most amount of respect for that player. He knows what he's got in his locker. And he's now playing in a system that kind of works for him. He's got a bit more freedom.
Yeah,
and
he was excellent.
He's played various positions. I mean, for England, he was almost played as a deep line playmaker. Yeah,
he was on the right for Liverpool. At times. And it's like yes to everything. You know what I mean?
That is a great example of, you know, your passion and dedication and work and so on. And James Milner's another one as well. I'd say Milner
came close to scoring. I'd love that. Oh, James Milner scoring in a Champions League final.
What a career Milner's had.
Oh, fantastic.
What a career. I mean, won a few things at Manchester City. He was kind of a utility man and a little bit part at times, perhaps more for maybe one or two people's liking. Go to Liverpool and... This is sort of like a swan song. I mean,
absolutely.
He's taken the spirit of Gary McAllister, and he's times it by three. Chapman, to see him lift
he's
the trophy,
he's a little bit younger.
He is actually. He's 33. McAllister was not 35.
But with Milner, like,
but I did
is
say
he going to be? Is he going to be at the club next season? I mean, Liverpool have got some Højgaard decisions.
No. Klopp's going to keep Milner there. Sure. I mean, Klopp was talking about the importance of James Milner in his pre-match talks in the dressing room. Mm. So I think there's a player to have around the place. And look at his fitness.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
There's no way Milner's going anywhere.
Origi, is he going to be leaving?
It would seem harsh.
Klopp has said that he'll definitely sort of give him... I think he might have already been offered a new contract, actually.
Right, okay. Will he play anymore? Well,
it's a funny one, isn't it? Because actually he's shown that, you know, he was quite young when he joined Liverpool, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's easy to forget that. And he's, you know, he's showing that he can actually do it on the big occasion. He's very, very
only on the big occasion.
There are so many of them, though.
Merseyside Derby, Champions League semi-final, Champions League final. Other than that, give him some time off. Save him for the big occasion.
Is he the sort of player, though, to like, you know, knock on Jurgen Klopp's door and say, I need to be starting more because I'm a goddamn footballer?
No, I think he would be thinking
to
himself...
I've given you a Champions League, mate.
I think if I was Origi, I'd think to myself, do you know what? I'm happy to just sort of mooch around and then grab
and
the
that's
headlines.
Why you're Leatherhead reserves and not Champions League final sunshine.
That's way down the list of reasons. I would say
Sturridge, anyone?
Yeah, good old Daniel Sturridge. Yeah. Nice
around,
to see
probably
him on
not,
the bench.
I would think. Yeah, one of the really heartwarming moments as well was Trent Alexander-Arnold and his mates. Did you see that? A couple of his mates got onto the pitch and he played a through ball to one of them to just smack it into the net.
Nice.
Like, oh, that is beautiful.
That's good. Dejan Lovren, he was cutting up the net.
Yeah, and Van Dijk as well. But didn't he, those fat cats at City Hall, not let them take it?
Probably.
I think they weren't allowhere to do it.
That's annoying.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do? Take that little bit of net back and patch it up?
Eat it. You can have it in a day. If you want it back, you can have it in a day.
Is this how you get things out of places?
Yeah, exactly.
You swallow them and then retrieve them later.
I am going on holiday soon. Please, let's not talk about that.
If you do work at any of the airports of the UK, get your hand up there. Who knows what Donaldson's got?
There's an old microphone muff up here. At the end of every season, I cut up microphone muffs through the years.
Looks like a card addressed to me. but one of the geniuses of Klopp's management, and there's an awful lot, is keeping everybody happy.
Yes.
You saw the subs, like the likes of Shaqiri, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Rian Brewster.
Yeah.
Shaqiri's been a bit part player and might have been slightly disappointed not to play a bit more, but he has contributed. Brewster's obviously a young lad, and Oxlade-Chamberlain hasn't really kicked a ball. And in perhaps the spirit of Rob Green, they have... The way they were celebrating, you could have... You could have thought, oh, did he play a part in this?
Well, the physio pointed out to Rian Brewster that he hadn't played, didn't he? Did you see that?
No.
He was on the bus, just sort of, you know,
loving it.
Having a lovely time.
How
many games did you play in?
It's like, come on, mate. Oh. Mate, I'm a teenager and I've got the best seat in the house to watch my team,
I know.
Which I'm presumably going to go on and star in, one would hope. Piss off.
Indeed.
that's why you're the physio, mate. But yeah, the squad harmony... Pete's rap name.
Yeah,
it looks amazing. And Klopp said in post match, he said about what's going on at the club, and he said that he's all about the development of the team.
Yeah,
and he talked about understanding that winning things is important, but he also said people shouldn't ask all the time about winning and not winning, which is something that both managers have probably had. Klopp is his first trophy as Liverpool manager, and Pochettino hasn't won something as Spurs manager. And this kind of, well, they haven't won anything. And Klopp's saying, no. And I think the point he was sort of saying is the development is key.
Yeah.
And the byproduct of that is winning stuff. And I'm glad that he's won something. And I hope Pochettino wins something soon for Spurs. And I appreciate not everyone in the studio will think that. But just the fact is that this is a fantastic manager. Mm. And to question the whole kind of winning and that, it would be a shame if they didn't win anything.
At the same time, though, mate, what's he won?
Yeah, no, I know. The hearts and minds of many people in this footballing country.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It's a sickener for Spurs, isn't it?
It is.
But again, what an achievement. Like, you know, I've been talking to a friend of mine who are Tottenham fans over the weekend as well, and I obviously have to feel a lot of sympathy for them because I know that feeling. Like, when Arsenal got to the Champions League final and lost, looking back on it, what's really interesting, and Spurs fans will probably have this right now, once they sort of get over the initial disappointment of it and how much that stings, is that I still think about that Thierry Henry goal at the Bernabeu and Jens Lehmann's penalty save against Villarreal and Arsenal beating Juventus at home, Fabregas scoring that goal, and it just being a really, really beautiful run. I think about those things all the time, and Spurs have their own versions of that, like these really exciting games, those the comebacks and just the nature of it, and smashing Dortmund like they did, and how they, you know, they looked kind of dead and buried in the group, but they came through. It's a, they'll always have those memories, and actually winning it would be brilliant, of course it would, but they're still going to be there, and that's something to take away.
Yeah, I think
it means something.
Yeah, I watched it with a few Spurs fans I know, and the feeling with them, and they have to, you have to be philosophical, because Spurs aren't as big as Liverpool, where they are at the moment, and the size of the club and the history, and that becomes more profound when you get into a
final. You could see it in the nature of Liverpool's performance as well. They looked completely. They played the game rather than the occasion, and I don't think Spurs bottled it or anything. I don't think they did look nervous, but I think, you know, Liverpool just... Spurs didn't really have an answer for Liverpool's containment.
And we have seen that this season, to be fair.
Yeah.
Liverpool didn't come at Spurs, so Spurs were a little bit like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? We'll loft some balls up.
Yeah, but as we were saying this on the show before, that when you get to a final, the big team tends to go, just you remember, we're the big team. Mm-hmm. And especially from when they're from the same country. And Liverpool, the history of that club, the feeling, hearing those fans sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" and all that, there's the weight of that supportership there. And I think that with Liverpool, they thought, this is our final, this is our match. Whereas I say in previous finals, it's kind of like, oh, we're the underdog, but we can do something here. And they nearly have done, and have done, of course, in the case of Istanbul. Whereas Spurs, it was almost like Ajax was their final. To get to the final itself was the great achievement, and anything else was almost like a bonus, in a sense. I don't want to be patronising there. But with Spurs, they have to look philosophically when they lose the game, but they were saying, you know, what an achievement to get to the final. It was a surprise. For Liverpool, haven't been in a final the previous year. Had they have lost the final, Liverpool would have been devastated. They wouldn't have said, oh, well, you know, another great achievement. They'd have said, no, we should have won the game. I think that's the difference between the two sides at the moment, you would say. But Klopp saying things like, it's just the start of this group of players. This Liverpool team is exciting, because when we've seen Real Madrid win this title, you thought to yourself, well, you didn't win the league. I know Liverpool didn't win the league, but they were a little bit off the pace.
I mean, they had the third highest points tally in Premier League history.
Exactly.
You know, it's a weird anomaly.
Totally. When Real Madrid win it recently, they're full of canny older operators.
Yeah.
And clearly the cycle of that Madrid side has now come to an end. And probably the third Champions League win maybe papered over a few cracks, as did Ronaldo's goals and so on. Whereas this Liverpool side, it does feel like the start.
Mm.
And that is very exciting for Liverpool. And Jurgen Klopp, who's been there for a few years now, people are saying Klopp's dynasty has now just begun. And that's an extraordinary thing, because normally when you win the Champions League, and there was talk of Pochettino might leave if he win the Champions League, because for some clubs it's not going to get any better than that.
Yeah.
Or for Real Madrid, it's kind of like, right, off you pop, but you've won the cup. Zidane being an anomaly, whereas for Liverpool, this is, as I say, just the start, and they could go on now and win a handful of trophies, although Manchester City will perhaps suggest otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, if they win a title soon, which, you know, you would expect over the next two or three seasons, they'd have to be among the favourites to manage it
with
one of those. Then, I mean, what an incredible achievement that will be for them, given how long it's been since they've won the title, and what an albatross that's become. Even though they've won everything else you can win, like in that time, and have been a successful club the whole time. That would put him among the greats.
Well, and Klopp could also put Liverpool back on their perch.
Absolutely. Can you imagine that?
But this is what's happening now. You see, for me, and perhaps yourselves, gentlemen, growing up, Manchester United were the biggest side in the 90s. They were
the biggest dog in the yard.
They were, definitely. And Liverpool were in the 80s, but yeah, I can't...
They, you hear that they had been that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know Liverpool are a great club and talk about the history and all that. Well, Klopp, you know, old Brendy Rodgers, to be fair, and Rafa as well, and one or two others, had flickers of that.
Mm. Roy Hodgson.
Perhaps not. but it was very dormant under Roy Hodgson. You would say now Klopp has fully reawakened this whole kind of Liverpool, the glory of the club. I mean, some will say, well, that's a ridiculous thing to say. It's always been there. But they've got this trophy now. And I think that they will now think, they won't feel inferior in any kind of way. And they could go on now and, as you say, become that biggest dog in the yard.
I think people are scared of them again.
Yeah.
They've certainly got
you don't
want
to go
feeling.
To Anfield anymore. No. Whereas in previous seasons, even under Klopp, you would think, going to Anfield, maybe nick a point.
Yeah. And I think Klopp's charisma has kind of, again, picked up a lot of like PR cracks as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's managed the club impeccably. Mm-hmm. And he's an incredibly interesting person to listen to in post-match and stuff. So I think he's an excellent figurehead for any football club.
Yeah, definitely.
And you kind of want Liverpool to win more than you necessarily would do in any other situation.
Yeah. It makes a difference having a thoroughly likeable chap at the head of a football club. Maybe more clubs
and
should
one
do
day
it.
This podcast might have that too.
Well, I would love to see the day.
But where does Pochettino go from here? Where does I think to be honest, where does Klopp go from here? You've won the biggest competition.
No, but we've got to win the league. Yeah. Got to win the Premier League.
Very, very
exactly.
clear, isn't it?
But
because he failed to do that this season.
Well, exactly. So, but then Manchester City will like Pep Guardiola's not gone anywhere this season. Can you see Manchester City relinquishing that?
Well, I mean, it was tight.
Do you think it's realistic to expect either team to get near to that points tally again? Because yeah. it's insane.
Mm.
It's absolutely
on.
Mad.
But Liverpool, the season before last, finished 25 points behind Man City.
Well, exactly. Mm. That's kind of what I mean. I think surely, City's standards, they've been so consistent, but surely that cannot be kept up over that long time.
we'll find out, won't
and
we?
And I will be writing down the edit point to where I play this next season. It's about this time.
When Leicester Campbell. City and Brendan Rodgers have thought, hang on a minute, lads.
But Pochettino will never have a better chance of winning the European Cup, do you think?
Maybe not at Spurs. Or
possibly at any other club, really. And also, they're not going to get anywhere near Pochettino
could land a massive... He could be Real Madrid manager one day. Mm.
What does Pochettino do if he stays at Spurs next season?
I think he just they go again, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's
it. Modern parlance. It's been a brilliant season for Spurs. Mm. You know,
it's been excellent.
They would never have expected to get to the Champions League final. I would think, like, realistically, and this is the thing with Spurs that Pochettino has instilled in them. They just don't know when they're beaten.
No.
And obviously the circumstances are a little bit unusual in the Champions League final, but the way they got there and the season they've had,
but they're
in the new stadium now.
Yep.
And as I understand it, I don't think they're going to be sort of paying that off for a long time. I think that might have been paid up in front, so they might actually even have more money than they used to having. Like, they're in a good spot.
Yeah, but they've been messed around with the stadium business and all. That must have an effect. So they won't have that next season, so it'll be interesting. But they're a force in Europe. They have been for a little while now. When they got put out by Juventus, was it in the quarterfinal? A couple of seasons ago, whenever it was. It was disappointing. They should have gone through. So, or maybe it was the second round. I can't remember.
There's never a game that they think they won't win.
Yeah, so
and
I,
what
I,
mentality that is to have instilled.
Yeah, did they not beat Real Madrid when Real Madrid
won
the Champions League? So, you know, we say, well, they'll never get back to another final, you know, quickly.
We don't know that.
Never let Liverpool finish fourth last season and who knows? Who bloody knows? Before we go to a break, I have to mention the very sad news. Jose Antonio Reyes died tragically in a car crash on the day of the final. His cousin also died in a car crash.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah, really sad. And a former Atleti player, I mean, Arsenal and others as well.
I really liked Reyes. He was a real sort of, he seemed like a really gentle soul and, you know, not your typical footballer. And you know, he had a kind of mixed time of it at Arsenal. We had a huge, huge contribution that he played in the unbeaten season, and he was fantastic, particularly at the beginning of the next season. I remember scored a lot of goals, and he won the. Did he win the Europa League 5 times?
I think he did. Yeah, he's got
twice
an amazing
with Atletico
record,
and 3 times with Sevilla. Like,
yeah,
he had
that
a really
right.
like decorated career, and it's so sad and such a tragedy.
It's one of the situations where, like, when footballers die young, it is an awful tragedy. But I mean, 70 over the speed limit. With a 23-year-old in the car.
Well, that's what Cannizzaro is. Cannizzaro has taken a lot of, the Santiago to Cannizzaro took a lot of flack on Twitter.
I just hope the family recover from this, because they've lost two members of the family and a third's going to be have his life changed in hospital.
Absolutely. All right then, everybody. Let's go for a quick break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Played square into Wordsworth. Played round the corner now for Civic. Right side of the box. Could be a chance for Pickett. Is it going to be deflected in? It's Shannon! It's Steve Shannon with the goal for the Dons! In the last minute of stoppage time!
And that's what football's about.
Yeah, we go from the Champions League to that.
Steve Shannon.
Oh, and from that, we go to emails with Petey D.
Not the beast!
You've got mail.
Bad beast!
Bad beast! Alistair. Hi guys, big fan of the show, and apparently my mum, Anne, is now also a fan of the show after meeting the one and only Luke Moore. She was on a plane on the way to her holiday and met a lovely young man who offered to put her bag up in the overhead locker. After chatting to Luke about having to Uber his suit to the airport after forgetting it at home, we did not hear about this.
No.
That was we never hear
from
about
the
his slips.
Group,
oh,
the look on Jim's face there. Was
never hear about these slips. Any other wicked whispers, guys, about Luke Moore?
Did he say he had to Uber his suit?
He Ubered his suit.
So what does he have to do? Does the Uber driver?
I don't know.
Where was this?
Maybe like somebody like walks
the Uber driver
has
to break into his house.
This must have been when we went to Lisbon.
Because
presumably
he's in the US now, isn't it?
He's been all over the place.
No, but how would the Uber driver get into his house?
I just don't know.
Good point. Could have been when we went to Menorca.
Either way,
he likes to wear a suit.
After chatting to Luke about having Uber a suit at the airport after forgetting it at home, she thought that it was probably not best to ask him to watch her stuff on a loo break. After my mum had finished explaining that her son is a massive football fan, works for a Christian sports charity, Kick London, he said that he clearly hadn't been doing his job right if I did not listen to the show. I do listen weekly, and I bought my tickets with a group of friends to see you in Shepherd's Bush, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Anne went on to listen to the show and described you as highly informed, humorous and knowledgeable about the sport. I don't know whether she means just Luke or the three of us. I mean, she's listened recently. It's only been us three, so
we'll take that.
We'll take that.
what excellent mothering.
Yeah. Getting interested about his son's about her
what
son's
an
also
what
I'm
an
really into this network of little birds as well.
Oh,
if we can keep that up,
yes,
then yes, please.
Get our little birds, get a little Lukey Moore. If you've seen Lukey Moore in public, do let us know.
If you've seen him in public in need.
I'm
Yeah, can you just Uber my suit to the airport, please?
We're going to have to press him on an explanation for the logistics of that when he gets
back.
But
I'm imagining, like, you know, an invisible man just wearing a suit getting into the back of an Uber going, yes, I would like a bottle of water.
He misplaces his suits. If you remember when we were in Glasgow once, right. He left it in the back of a taxi. I had to Usain Bolt it down the road to get that.
I remember that. It was very impressive.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Were you like the Terminator?
Oh, it was.
The T-1000?
It was, jumped on the back of the car. With some golf clubs.
Thank you very much, Alistair, for that email. And if you'd like to pick up your tickets to the Shepherd's Bush gig, it's ramblelive.com. We've got plenty of gigs still to be filled, so bloody get involved.
Absolutely.
Hello to Dan. Listening to the recent ramble, it was briefly mentioned that Jim shares a birthday with Roger Federer. Out of curiosity. Sorry?
It's wrong. We're the same age. I share a birthday with Delia Smith. And Paul McCartney and Jason McAteer.
Oh.
Although I suppose it did sound quite misleading. We're roughly the same age, Federer and I, and I will not stop until I topple him.
Oh. Okay, then. You've rendered that email null and void, so we'll just carry on
with it anyway.
Out of curiosity, I Googled my own birthday to see if I had any similarly brilliant, world-class doppelgangers to lay claim to. Amongst others, my search turned up Osama bin Laden, Garth Crooks and Sepp Blatter. What a trio.
Oh, wow. kiss, marry, kill?
Dan, thank you very much for your email. Shortthefootballramble.com if you would like to say hello.
Love that.
Yeah.
Do you share your birthday with any famous people?
I think there's some really bad ones. It's not Hitler, but it's someone bad. It's one of the big Nazis, I think. One of them.
Goebbels, maybe.
Goebbels.
Craig Bellamy for me, so.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Similar vein.
I always like Craig Bellamy.
I'm joking.
But he will let you down.
Yeah, exactly. but the aforementioned golf clubs may be appropriate there. UEFA Nations League is back.
Yes.
We've got that Champions League nonsense out of the way.
Speaking of long breaks.
It's back. The players are going to be knackered, aren't they?
I'm so excited about this because it's a new tournament that you can win. And does it count? Does it not? Is this the Intertoto Cup or is it the Champions League? Jim, how's it going to work?
This time next week, we will have decided whether it counts or not.
Yeah, it's the Intertoto Cup plate, but with the big ears of the Champions League on the side.
And if England don't win it, then it's rubbish.
I do feel like if England or Switzerland win it, it will seem like that, though, won't it? People are going, nah, you know.
Yes. I know what you mean. Definitely some of the other countries that border England will miss it. But that's fine. That's all what the Bants is about. But yes, England, they're playing the Netherlands on Thursday. And as a result, we will be doing the preview show on Friday. We should also say, by the way, after the Champions League, we have got our season predictions primed and ready. But we're going to wait for Luke to get back.
Yes. He'll be back on the Friday.
If he hasn't left them in a cab.
It's in my other suit.
But England versus Netherlands, England. One thing I was relieved actually of, I was looking at that Champions League final, I was going, "Don't hurt each other, boys.
Don't hurt each other. You've got
the big one coming up soon." So,
I mean, to be honest, after that, watching that, I was like, Dyer,
Kane,
Ali, Kane.
Yeah, but Alexander Arnold,
I know.
Yeah,
Henderson,
even Joe Gomez, he got a few minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
So England pretty much at full strength, although Kane's fitness is a question. And Southgate will assess whether to start Kane or not, because this evening Southgate and Kane are going to sit down and talk about that. But if not, we could have Sterling and Sancho either side of Rashford up top. Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
That is the pace, power, panache.
Mm, because, I mean, obviously there's a danger that England become too reliant on Harry Kane.
Yes.
And it'd be very good to see what a system without him works like in case, you know, he's injured for a future tournament or just, you know, plan A isn't working for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if Kane weren't around, I think we might be heaping a lot more pressure on the shoulders of Marcus Rashford. Mm-hmm. You know, he might be seen as a sort of little bit of a Rooney figure, you know, in the way that the press treated him. And he's an option.
I think Rashford's shown promise, but not like Rooney.
I know it's very different, but you know what the press are like in terms of hyping players up.
What do you think then? From what we know, obviously there's a few days left to train and that, but from what you've seen in the Champions League, but Rashford hasn't played for a little while, but that's slightly different circumstances. He has been training with England. Would you start Kane? When England walk out against the Netherlands and Van Dijk's in the side again, do you think, no, this time Kane will
I feel like if Kane was considered fit enough to start the Champions League final, then Southgate will consider him fit enough to start for England. It might just be that he had an off day or whatever, and I think that'll all be taken into account. Obviously, they're going to chat to each other about that, but I would expect to see Kane start.
Yeah. Well, the talk is Kyle Walker will probably get the nod over Trent Alexander-Arnold, which you could see. But Alexander-Arnold will have his time in an England shirt. There's no doubt about that.
100%.
But it does make a difference, I suppose, if Kane is playing or not. Because if he is, actually, Alexander-Arnold's delivery, honestly, it's Beckham-esque.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's so, so insane. Good. I know Son did some great tracking and dealt, you know, put pressure on Alexander-Arnold so he didn't have as much joy. And Pochettino did pretty well there. But still, though, he's a remarkable fullback, I think. But Netherlands, though, there's some names in there. Some names in there. A lot of the Ajax players.
Well, it's a refreshing thing to see with the Netherlands, isn't it? Because for a long time, you know, they were sort of rooting around in the doldrums. It was like, oh, this seems really sad to see this sort of, you know, once great international side just looking a bit listless and like there's no one coming through. And then suddenly they all come through together with this brilliant crop of Ajax players. So it's I hope, obviously, that England can overcome them. But it's also an exciting time to look at the Dutch team.
I can see, like, Ryan Babel coming on and getting the winner.
Yeah, definitely.
Big Ryan sticking one in from 25 years.
He's had a lovely season.
He's not had a lovely season. He's produced some moments, but
he arrived halfway through a bad season.
He did.
And made it a bit more lovely.
I think he's gone back to Turkey.
I see, right, okay.
It's a funny one, that, isn't it? Going to Fulham and then a little Premier League jaunt and then going, actually, no, this is crap.
Forgot about the rain.
Exactly, yeah. Luke de Jong's in there.
Yeah.
Ex Newcastle.
Yeah.
Didn't play his best football at Newcastle, but you can't blame him for that.
It's funny, like, Luke de Jong, Albert Luque, and Sisco are all the same player in my head. Well, Newcastle player that was there for ages but didn't really play.
Yeah, we've had a couple of de Jongs who've underwhelmed. People have had their lungs collapsing and shit like that. It's like, wow, Newcastle are not great.
Blimey. I do worry about that Netherlands midfield with Frankie de Jong pulling the strings. You got Wijnaldum in there. You could even have Kevin Strootman as well. Mm. You know, that's a decent side. Or Donny van der Beek.
Well, Real Madrid are looking at him, aren't they? If they can't get Pogba. Real Madrid signing, though, a 22-year-old Dutchman.
Who's that?
Donny van der Beek.
Oh, yeah, well,
he's got quite a big reputation, though.
I'm just saying.
The only thing they seem to care about.
But they probably won't, spend 50 million on him. You know, he'll be a little bit cheaper.
Well, because Frankie de Jong's off to Barcelona and Real Madrid have thought to themselves, right, we're having a piece of that action. Get Huntelaar back. Yeah, he won't cost half as much.
Quite.
See if he can do it this time in a Real Madrid shirt. In the other semi-final on the Wednesday night, it's Portugal versus Switzerland. Some familiar names in the Portugal squad. Jose Font's in there.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because I really want him to face England.
Pepe and Jose Font are both in there, right?
They are.
That is creaking, isn't it?
That's why. I think Portugal with home advantage will beat Switzerland. Although I think the Swiss are, I bet they're a big Fabian Schär at the back, for crying out loud.
I love Schär.
Yeah, it's nice to have a bit of Newcastle
love
representation.
Love Schär, baby, love Schär.
Granite Xhaka in the midfield.
Yeah.
You see?
Kicking the strings.
Uh-huh.
Fouling the strings.
If Portugal play England in the final, and I hope England do, I'd love Sterling to just have a go at Pepe and Font.
Imagine.
You know, a little bit of pace might cause them some problems. You're looking ahead. A lot of people tweet me and say when the game doesn't have any yellow cards, if Sterling comes up against those two, there'll be yellow cards. Don't you worry about that.
Pepe losing his head in a final, getting sent off.
That's what we want to see.
Oh, don't we just?
That's what we want to see. All right then. Should we go to another ad break? Because after the ads, we're going to talk some Premier League transfer chat and a few other bits and pieces.
Big time.
Let's do that.
What a screamer that was by me.
Welcome back.
More lower league stuff. Alex Mowat.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. The previous show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Friday, not Thursday.
Yeah.
Don't come round here on Thursday looking for preview shows.
our best bettor last week did no win. Old Leakey wanted 3.5 goals, or over 3.5 goals. We're bet 365. Did no come in because we were lucky to get that second one, to be honest.
I was so glad that second one went in. I thought if it's settled by that goal, awful business. All right then, let's have some Premier League transfer chat. According to reports, you're going to hear that expression a lot in the next few months. According to reports, Real Madrid may offer, they may not, of course, but they may offer Manchester United up to three players in exchange for Paul Pogba. Among those being touted, of course, are Gareth Bale, who they are desperate to get rid of, it would seem, and James Rodriguez. You'd take that if you're Man United, wouldn't you?
It's a funny one, that, isn't it? Because isn't this Man United's problem, though, that they're sort of transfer thinking hasn't been particularly joined up.
Stockpiled decent players.
I think Bale in particular would definitely improve them. I don't know if Hammers is what they need. So maybe be a replacement for Sanchez, even though they're sort of quite different players, I suppose. But then if Bale's playing wide, it might work. But does that, you know, swap deals?
Yeah, Gareth Bale going for a swap deal. Like, if I was Gareth Bale, I'm like, this genuinely affects my brand. And going to Manchester United in the state they are now.
I don't know, though. Is he 30, 31? Gareth Bale, he's really getting pushed out of Real Madrid. I understand he doesn't want to go, and there's a principle there, but for me...
It's 29, Marcus. 29? Yeah, no, he's you know...
When's
still
he 30?
That's a good question. 16th of July, so yeah, he'll be 30 by the time
the season starts. And who does he share his birthday with? Edward Woodward.
Yeah, I don't know. Ringo and Pol Pot.
there are a few kind of players like this, like Bale, Sanchez, Ozil, these players that are just literally fallen out of love with the game.
But the problem now as well is that, you know, in the past, those players would maybe go somewhere, they take a little bit of a step down and have a bit of an Indian summer maybe and really improve a team that they went to. But now their wages make that ridiculous.
Impossible,
So we're seeing swap deals and things like that. And there's talk of, you know, Pogba taking three players and the same with Neymar. Yeah. You know, like, got to sell the stadium to get Neymar.
Nowadays,
it's mad. It's boring.
Well, nowadays Chinese rules means that you can't spaff a load of money on the actual transfer fee.
Excellent use the word spaff.
You can spend, but you can spaff the cash on wages. So everyone's waiting until everyone's contracts run down before they can make the move to China and make even more moon money. But it's going to be interesting to see what those three players do in particular, because it's sad that it's ended up like this. But Bale, you'd imagine, would put his back into a move a bit more than Sanchez or Ozil.
I think Bale's got to go. And I think Manchester United isn't a bad place for him to go.
No.
To try and get them going again. Louis van Gaal's been talking about his former club.
Always a joy.
Again.
Louis van Gaal!
Saying, he's talking about two former clubs of his. He said, at Bayern, the people in charge are football men. Normally when people are described as football men, it's because they've done something wrong. But in this case, I don't think that's the case. Anyway, he said, at Bayern, the people in charge are football men. I always appreciated that. At Manchester United, on the other hand, Ed Woodward was installed as CEO, somebody with zero understanding of football.
Yeah.
He then went on to say he doesn't hold it against the club. They got rid of him for Jose Mourinho. And that the fans don't care how a match is won. It's just all about the result. And I thought to myself, because he talked about wanting to play more attacking football. And I can remember Manchester United fans chanting under Louis van Gaal, attack, 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 attack. Yeah.
It's probably like I met the fans and they didn't seem to question my methods face to face, so I think it was absolutely fine. It's because you're a terrifying man, Louis. You're an absolutely terrifying man.
And you've got
man.
Your bollocks out, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you.
There's another amazing line from this interview. We will link to it in the bio of the show. The question is, you haven't mentioned Wayne Rooney. Was he too old by then? I'm sorry, but he was over the hill. But in spite of that, he was one of my best players.
Yeah. Oh dear. Well, I love this. I absolutely love this. This shows you where, and Liverpool fans will love this as well. This shows you where Manchester United are at the moment. They're reportedly targeting Sporting's Bruno Fernandes, a player who we saw quite recently. Very, very talented player.
He was far and away the best player on the field.
Absolutely right. And the big move has been touted for him. You'd imagine he may well have his pick of the clubs the way it's going. Now, apparently Manchester United really want him. There's talk of, you know, sort of a 70 odd million pounds, that kind of thing. When he was asked about the possibility of moving to England, he said, I like Liverpool a lot more than Man City. It's more a direct style of play, more offensive, maybe less organised, but more intense football. No mention of Man United.
Just their two biggest rivals. Amazing. Oh, God, if you're a Liverpool fan right now, there is just so much to drink in. And actually, I feel like I will always be part Scouse now because of the favour they've done me.
Oh, Jim, that's not going to do you any favours.
Oh, dear.
At Jim Campbell.
But I love that. Just that. What do you think about Man United? Well, I like Liverpool and I like Manchester. I mean, it really shows you, doesn't it?
Pretty stark.
That's why if you're Manchester United, go after Bale. I think you know, still got something to offer.
Yeah.
Exciting player.
I mean, if you can get a player of that caliber, absolutely.
Because you're not getting Bruno Fernandes by the looks of it.
Yeah, apparently not.
Now let's talk about a much more important transfer news. Apparently, old Brendy Rodgers is lining up a £14 million bid for Andros Townsend.
He wants goals.
Right, okay. Yeah.
£40 million.
Blimey.
After that season.
Imagine
Mr. God, Prolific.
Him and Vardy ripping it up. Because Vardy doesn't need to be slowing up.
Right, they need someone. They haven't really replaced Mahrez.
Mahrez hasn't really replaced Mahrez.
Get Townsend in there. Hang on a minute. He's had a good season.
He's had a good season.
leave off.
Leave off.
Oh, what about this? Maurizio Sarri has told Juventus, told Chelsea rather, he wants to piss off the Juventus.
Has he phrased it like that? Because I imagine he probably would have.
I think
fair.
So. I respect that. Ah, oh, Maurizio, no, you've done okay. Look, I've won my trophy. I'm out of here. I want to piss off.
Oh, sorry, you stink.
Oh, you've spat fag all over me.
You've spaffed fags all over me.
Oh, God.
Quickly to the WhatsApp group.
No. A jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if Alistair's mum is listening. The mother of a Christian football group manager or something.
I'm a Christian as well, believe it or not.
You said it, didn't you? So that's worse.
Uh-huh. Well, and it shows
you not
that
spill your seed on ground.
It shows you that we all need forgiveness. Speaking of forgiveness, what about Sheikh Khaled? He's still interested in buying Newcastle United, it would appear.
How is that speaking of forgiveness, please?
I reckon
not having your fudged links this late in the season.
I'm suggesting that a man like Sheikh Khaled and the way money has been acquired, forgiveness may be needed somewhere down
right,
the line.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I didn't want to be too
I'll accept
implicit.
It, but I'm not happy about it.
All right. Well, up yours, Jim. The word is that he'll sack Rafa if he gets his hands on the club.
That's it. Get the fans on side.
What's he ever done? And he wants to appoint Jose Mourinho or Arsene Wenger. Oh. Yeah!
Imagine it.
How can you sack a man who's got like 10 days to run on his contract?
Yeah.
You can't sack me because actually I no longer work for the club, yeah. You massive knob.
I work for hotels.com. Like every other manager this weekend.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
It was good. Mm. I enjoyed it.
Well, it's worked, isn't it? Because they've got a little plug on us.
Exactly.
On our show now. Yeah.
Although we're Villa Plus men.
Yeah, I was going to say, go straight to Villa Plus, clearly.
Yeah, rubbish.
But Rafa's contract is up at the end of the month. Time is ticking away. But Mourinho and Veng, or Mu and Veng, as they're called in the tabloids, they were punditing side by side.
Yeah, it was weird to see that. That was they were kind of getting on. I was like, I'm not really sure what's doing to make of this.
Yeah, Mourinho has actually been quite nice about Liverpool.
Peering behind the curtain like that.
Yeah, I don't like it, yeah.
Do you not?
No.
It's a bit when you see, it's like when I think they caught the Iron Sheik, speaking of which, the Iron Sheik and
the milkshake.
And a goodie in the WWF back in the day in a car together. And there was this big expose because some substances were found in the glove compartment. They got arrested. But it was the first time that the idea of wrestling kayfabe was kind of, they thought that broken. They would never be friends sort of things because the Iron Sheik's evil and I can't remember who the other wrestler was, and so it's kind of like broke a bit of the mystique. So this seeing them together on the thing, yeah, I'm not having it.
No, well, they dismissed the rumours linking them to Newcastle.
I mean, why would you not?
But they didn't. They didn't say it was kind of like, oh no, we're not here to talk about that. Co-managers.
Yeah, imagine those two in the dugout together. Yeah,
victory lap.
Shit cop and shit cop.
Come on, who'd you rather, Mourinho or Wenger?
I don't even know.
You got to choose Wenger, aren't you?
I don't think Wenger would take another job.
Do you know what? I honestly think Mourinho.
Would he not?
No, Wenger.
Based on who said that, you never know, though, do you? Yeah. You can never say never.
Arsene Wenger's not going to manage Newcastle.
Why not? Yeah.
Because
of course he's not.
Rafa went. Where did?
Why do I need to justify?
Where did Rafa come from?
No, Newcastle. No, but that was
the
different.
Romance, the fans.
No, but that's different.
The gargantuan tifos.
Rafa loves managing. He loves living. He's got more in the tank.
Right.
He's much younger than Wenger. Wenger's done in terms of management, unless it was like a lovely little swan song, like Monaco, who are in a much
going back to if they Japan. Were in a month,
yeah, exactly. not now, Monaco, because they're rubbish. But if they were a bit better, somewhere like that, a nice, you know, very very warm part of the world, almost like a retirement kind of thing.
Okay, right. I see.
I think Mourinho. There's no way Mourinho would go to the depths of somewhere like Newcastle, considering he wasn't.
My God,
considering the clubs he's managed and what he's won.
Yeah, right. But his stock has fallen, isn't it?
Not that much.
I tell you what,
not that much,
mate. If a dubious shake comes in, throws loads of money at it, is that not the perfect environment?
Is that
Mourinho?
Not Chelsea 3.0?
He thrives in being the underdog.
Okay,
absolutely
so,
that.
All right, so I agree with that point. So what I'm saying is, actually,
he loves new money.
I think Mourinho does, and he loves his own money. I think Mourinho would be absolutely brilliant at that level, and I think Mourinho's his days as the absolute elite have gone. I thought he could take a step down, maybe not two or three or four steps down, but that type of manager, I think he went in there, he had the respect of the players, and I think he'd do really really well, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I would absolutely love it if Benitez, because I want Benitez to stay.
I mean, it would be a miserable step. It would be a step down emotionally for, I think, everyone.
It would. It would make a change, though, because normally Benitez follows on from Mourinho.
Yeah.
And Mourinho would go there straight away and go, well, I've got to unpick all that crap that Benitez did. He's like, hang on a minute.
What, an excellent defence and some really hopeful youngsters coming through.
There you are, you see. Mm. So you would rather Wenger or Mu?
I mean, it's not going to happen. The takeover's not going to happen. We're not going to get either of those managers.
Is Benitez
the stadium's going to fall down?
Stadium's going to fall down. Rafa's going to leave.
Newcastle kicked out of the UK after Brexit.
Yeah, but you'll still buy the new goalkeeper away kit, though,
yes,
won't you?
Yes, of course I will.
Good. All right, that's what we want to hear.
Yeah,
there you are, Mike. You've still got him. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back on Friday for the preview show. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, Liverpool.
And thank you, listeners. See you on Friday.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.